This is HDN.
It's Jamie and Lisa in the Beaver Bank Bunker. Now, Halloween stands for All Hallows Eve.
Yes.
Which is the day before All Saints Day.
Correct.
But today is something, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, I'm trying to remember what it was. Well, you know, like at Christmas, you have Christmas and then Christmas Eve.
Yeah,
and then you have like
the
Eve of Christmas Eve.
Yeah.
No, isn't this Devil's Night tonight? Isn't this the night where people go absolutely
ape
crazy?
Shit
in Detroit.
Yeah.
Although, no.
There's nobody left there.
Yeah, so. I was going to say, I think they've been doing that nonstop for the last 5 years. So,
Could be.
I think this is Devil. I'm going to look it up. You tell us fun stories while I look up Devil's Night.
All right. Last evening was the Youth Halloween Dance at the Beaver Bank Kinsack Community Center.
Talk about Devil's Night.
Well, you know what? They were a very well-behaved group of kids. We had about 65 grade 6, 7s, and 8s. My God, what a study in social behavior. It is fascinating to watch these preteens at work.
You should have been a child psychologist.
Oh, God.
Did you get to look at them through two-way glass?
Kind of. Yeah. I was stuck in the popcorn room, so I was there sort of in the background serving popcorn, but also observing. Interesting to observe. I mean, the music there was your standard fare from today. But there were three songs that got the kids actually on the dance floor and jumping around and actually dancing.
Were they Halloween songs?
Two of the three were.
Okay, let me guess. Monster Mash, always a favorite.
Nope. Played it. Kids didn't really know what it was.
Wow. I'm lost then.
Ghostbusters.
Okay.
Michael Jackson's Thriller,
mm-hmm.
and Psy, Gangnam Style. Those were the three songs that were the only things that got the kids up and really dancing on the dance floor.
So the same three songs that will get middle-aged women up on the dance floor dancing...
Pretty much.
...are the same songs that get kids up there.
But, and I mean, wow. You know, I mean, the music was fabulous because, I mean, it was all, you know, some great stuff from today, and I thought, oh, kids will be right into that. But I mean, these are preteens, right? So
they just listen to what their parents are listening to.
Well, they're just, you know, the stuff is playing and they're just kind of walking around the gym and socializing in groups and mm-hmm. that kind of thing. But nope, those three songs, they were up and they were dancing. Costume contest was part of it as well.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the guys that won was dressed up as a guy from the 80s/90s, as Bronwyn said. And she says, look at his flow. I said, his flow? Yeah, look at his flow. He's on the hockey team. So they grow their hair so you can see it from underneath the helmet.
Oh, no.
And I said, honey, that's a mullet. That's not a mullet. It's called a flow.
Mullet.
It was a mullet.
Mullet and flow.
It was a mullet.
I remember mullet and flow.
Oh, God, they were
now,
great.
Now, that's a song that would get them up on the dance floor.
Mullet
Put on
flow.
A little mullet and flow.
Oh, my God.
It's funny because when the mullet was first introduced, we called it hockey hair.
Mm-hmm.
So that it would come out to the back of the helmet.
And that's the explanation I gave to Bronwyn and explained that was the genesis of the mullet. And
all business up front, party in the back, that type of thing.
Oh, God, yeah. Ugh, no, Mom, that's his flow.
So everything old is new again.
Yeah. And a final observation from last night. This is more of a sad one. I met no fewer than three parents who were there last night. They were on their days off from out west, one of which was our DJ.
Mm-hmm.
And we actually had to move the dance to this week in order to accommodate his work schedule because he's doing pipe fitting work out in Alberta. Another parent who was home on his days off, he helps manage the lodge that takes care of all of the workers at various camps out west.
So it's all oil workers then, is it?
Well, I mean, you know, this one guy, he's in hospitality, so he takes care. He helps check in the workers. And
we're in Fort McMurray?
Fort Mac, yeah.
Fort Mac. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I'm from Alberta. I call it Fort McMurray. What is this Fort McMurray? Fort Mac, man.
That's what we call it. And then one of our volunteers last night, her husband, was lamenting the fact that he was missing Halloween this year because he was working out west. And
if the hours are the same as they used to be,
mm-hmm.
I think it was 2 weeks on, 2 weeks off, something like that. It was just insane.
One of the guys, three on, two off. Yeah, one of the guys I spoke to last night works 20 days on and gets 10 days off.
Monday through Friday, that would be 5 days.
I don't know if they work the 20 days straight or what.
No, they drink heavily there. I don't think any of them are straight.
That was a question I had. Are those camps dry?
Wow, that's a good question, because when they would party down, when they came down to Edmonton, because they had all this money. Mm. I mean, back in the day, things have changed. Back in the day, Fort McMurray was desolate. Mm-hmm. And you'd go up there and you'd make all sorts of money, but there really wasn't any place to spend it.
No.
So you just, it would go into your bank account, it would accumulate, and then you'd have your week or two off and you'd come down to Edmonton and just pay for everything in cash and you'd be rich. These guys were insane. It was really quite funny seeing, like, there were certain places where you would see them. They were rich, but you couldn't call them sophisticated, put it that way.
But, I mean, these three people that I spoke to last night, you know, all with very similar stories. One guy, he was with, I think it was Manulife, for a number of years and got laid off. And it made me sad because I think of, you know, all of, yes, they have to go out there to make money, but they lose so much, and their communities lose out as well. One of these gentlemen is a volunteer firefighter, and we are screaming for volunteer firefighters in this town. And here, you know, we lose one because of economics. He's got to be out west for, you know, a third of the year, a quarter of the year. And when he comes home, he can only do limited service because he hasn't been able to train every week with his comrades like normal, right?
So he comes home for a week or whatever.
2 weeks.
2 weeks. And he's a volunteer firefighter during that time.
Yeah.
Man's a saint.
Yeah. You know, our DJ from last night, he usually does the sound for our Remembrance Day ceremonies.
Yeah.
Can't do it this year because he's out working. He'll be out in Alberta. It's just, you know, to me, it's just a very sad state of affairs where you've got so many people having to leave. And it just, I don't know, it makes me sad.
Every profession too.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Shauna McKinnon?
Yeah.
Who I worked with on Cool.
That's
she was
right.
on Q104 for a while. And she did the midday show on Cool for years.
Yeah.
Well, she was laid off, couldn't find work around here. She's in Fort McMurray now on the radio. I wonder if she gets 2 weeks on and 1 week off. Probably not.
No, I think she definitely relocated.
That's the thing. It was unbelievable amounts of money that these people were making. And, you know, like no education. They just go up and it was just brute strength. That's all that they were looking for.
Yeah.
This is back in the day once again. And they would come back with all sorts of money, but one fewer finger to count it with.
Yeah.
I mean, they would lose body parts. It was a very dangerous profession.
Mm.
And there are other people who would put you in hospital so that they would get your position. I mean, it was that nasty. I mean, you had to watch your back all the time.
Mm.
But, I mean, talk about the Wild West.
Yeah.
I'm sure things have changed. See, one thing that has really changed is Fort McMurray has grown into, they have radio, they have Shauna McKinnon on the radio, but they have, all the amenities
there. Oh, it's a thriving community.
They
Absolutely.
Do not have to go down to Edmonton now to blow their money. They can blow it right there in the privacy of their own home. Here it is. Devil's Night is a name associated with October 30th, the night before Halloween. It is related to Mischief Night, practiced in other parts of the United States and the world, but is chiefly associated with the serious vandalism and arson seen in Detroit, Michigan, from the 70s to the 90s, finally prompting the Angel's Night community response. And now, of course, the pack up and get the hell out of there response.
Yeah.
There's nobody. Have you seen pictures of Detroit, some of these big factories that look like
post-apocalyptic?
With ivy growing inside and animals living in there. I mean, they have wild animals. It shows you how quickly nature takes back. We think that we've conquered nature with our big cities and our sewage and our water and our electricity. How long since these people have left Detroit? It's just in the last 10 years, really,
10 years,
where they've really, the mass exodus. And it is looking post-apocalyptic.
It's National Geographic Channel has a documentary series or a series called After Humans. And they go through various scenarios.
Oh, I've seen that, yeah.
Yeah, and clock, you know, what the Earth would look like.
30 days after the bomb or after the asteroid hit.
Yeah, exactly. And it is quite fascinating how quickly nature just completely takes back.
That show shows when we're wiped off the map, what happens to the Earth.
Mm.
Nobody was wiped off the map in Detroit. There just wasn't any work left, and they left. And it has gotten to that point. it makes you wonder what kind of societies were here before us. And yeah. that has been brought up before where people say, you know what, there could have been intelligent societies. There could have been intelligent life. There could have been all sorts of civilizations mm-hmm. going back tens of thousands of years.
Yeah.
And we have no idea because it's everything is temporary. It's just, it's a fluke that even the pyramids are there. And now they're saying that the Sphinx may have been not built by the ancient Egyptians, but dug up by the ancient Egyptians.
Oh, really?
I mean, there's water marks on the side of the Sphinx.
Yeah.
And there hasn't been water there in thousands and like 7,000-8,000 years.
Interesting.
And so they're saying that maybe the Egyptians just dug it up and tried to improve certain parts of it, but it may have been there from a civilization that was here a lot longer than that.
Hmm.
And it's very easy. Just in our lifetimes, when we went to school, we learned that Christopher freaking Columbus came across the Atlantic and discovered America.
Yeah.
I mean, we were taught that in school.
Absolutely.
And now it's like, well, you know, hundreds of years before that, we had the Vikings and we had this society and this society.
There's this guy by the name of Leif Erikson. Yeah.
We think that we're so smart and we know the history of
this
planet. We did so many. The dinosaurs could have been intelligent.
Mm.
The dinosaurs could have been pets left by very intelligent people that were freaking huge. We have no idea.
The Flintstones may have had it right. We've got candidates for Douchebag of the Week just coming out of the woodwork.
Okay,
let's do it. Right and center. First of all, still haven't heard anything about the mystery moose meat. Bring you up to speed on this. Somebody poached an endangered mainland moose. If you're not familiar, the mainland moose, there's only about 500 to maybe 1,000 of these critters crawling around.
The mainland moose is found...
Mostly, a lot of them in Cape Breton. But
mostly
like I said,
in Cape Breton.
They are endangered. It's been illegal to hunt the mainland moose since 1981, I think. Anyway, there was one that was found, he was lost up in St. Croix earlier in September. And they thought he might be a bit of a danger to, residents. He was close to the roadway, didn't want him to hurt himself. So they shot him up big time with tranquilizers, and they moved him down to Pakwak Wilderness that surrounds the area of the water supply, and thought, there he is, he can go and live out his days. Well, somehow this moose wandered on by to Mount Uniac, where some poachers decided to kill it and strip it and take all the meat and left the hide and the head at the side of the road. Now, the hide and the head were discovered late last week, I think it was, and they knew exactly who the moose was because he was, toe-tagged or tagged, and they went over their records.
Not toe-tagged.
No.
Put in the ear, I think.
He is now, but and they went through and went, holy crap, this is the moose that we just tranquilized last month. So they had to put out the plea to the poachers. Listen, if you killed this mainland moose, first of all, bad, 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 bad. Second of all, don't eat that meat because it is tainted. It takes about a year for the tranquilizer drugs to be eliminated from the moose system.
Tranquilized moose meat.
Yes.
You see, what the police obviously don't realize is that would be a selling point for anybody in Mount Uniac.
And you think the tryptophan takes a toll on you after a turkey dinner. Imagine after eating this moose meat. So just be cautious if somebody comes up to you in the next little while and says, psst, want to buy some moose meat?
Well, yeah, anybody who poaches animals, you're douchebag of the week. Automatically.
No, automatically. Yeah.
Animals should be cooked on a barbecue. You don't poach them. That's disgusting. Keep them away from water.
Our other nominee, a little more recent, yesterday afternoon, police got the call about a break and enter in a home on Cedar Bank Terrace. It's pretty much on Northwest Arm. They said that the suspect was seen fleeing the scene in a red canoe. So officers attended both sides of Northwest Arm and just basically waited for him to dock. The canine unit was brought in, and when the canoe pulled up onto the shore, lo and behold, there was a number of items that allegedly were stolen from the house. And
that's not douchebag of the week. That's Canadian of the week. How much more Canadian can you get than somebody robbing you and then taking off in a canoe? I think the only way that you could be more Canadian is if he got out of his canoe and poached a moose and then got back in. That would have been Canadian.
There it is. Canadian.
Anybody that's listening outside of Canada to this podcast, they'll go like, oh, you've got to listen to these two.
First, a guy's poaching moose, and another person is robbing places in a canoe. It's everything we've ever heard about Canada is true.
And finally, in some retail news, you're going to like this. Looks like Burrito Jack's is coming to Burnside, opening up on Ilsley Avenue in January. It's apparently going to be in the same plaza as Burger King down around that area. So Burrito Jack's is making a move to Dartmouth.
Yeah, I didn't drop into Burrito Jack's for a long time because it's nothing really enticing about the sign, about anything about Burrito Jack's.
Right.
You look at it and you go, burrito, do I want one of those things that I thaw in the microwave? And you really should try it. My friend Terry said, you got to try one of these things. So we went to the one that's on Kemp Road. First of all, everybody who works at Burrito Jack's, I think they are told they have to be friendly. I think they beat that into their staff. They are so friendly, so helpful. I have yet to meet a Burrito Jack's employee that's just not extra nice. It's like going down to the States. Mm-hmm. You know how they treat you in restaurants and play? It's just so different.
Yeah.
They actually work for their tips down in the States. They're friendly, and if they're not friendly, they're freaking fired, and that's the way it should be, but I don't want to go off on that tangent. Secondly, it's cooked right there. You have to wait for this whole thing to be cooked. You tell them exactly what to put in there, and they wrap it up, and then they cook it, and you wait a good 5-10 minutes or however long
but
it takes.
But it's worth the wait.
Oh, it is so good. I brought one home for you. And
oh, yeah.
You liked it?
Oh, yeah.
Bronwyn says, I mean, she's a vegetarian now, so I got the veggie one. She goes, it's just like a plate of nachos rolled up in a package. And so I'm thinking, wow, okay. So poetic. But try Burrito Jack's. It's fresh food. It's local, I do believe.
Oh, really?
I'm pretty sure. I don't think it's a...
A chain?
I'm not sure. You know, if it is, in fact, a franchise from California or something, I'm wrong. But I think it's local.
Cool.
And you go in there, and they're wearing, like, hockey sweaters that say Burrito Jack's
on it.
Yeah.
Cool.
I mean, it's just a neat place, and it's really good food. And just like Lisa likes to promote the hell out of her pizza town with their poutine pizza, I'm going to promote Burrito Jack's.
Oh, okay.
Maybe I'll get a free burrito out of it sometime in the future. Who knows? And that is it for today's Thursday Devil's Night edition of the Halifax Daily News. Back on Halloween.
Until then.